up a bit as we talked about the spies in the land and how really God chose the leaders, which turned out not to be so much leaders as they turned out to be really those that were lacking in faith to follow the Lord. And in verse 23 it says, "And they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it." So those, obviously, those that rejected them wouldn't see the land. Those that rejected God's authority, they didn't listen to Him. They didn't do as He said, wouldn't see the land. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." What a wonderful promise for someone that would obey the Lord in the things in which the Lord would put in front of him. What was Caleb marked by? Caleb was marked by a different spirit, a spirit of obedience, a self-denying spirit, right? Because, as we said before, he saw the same land that the others saw, but his view of it was different because of the spirit that was within him. And I think we have to remember that. We have a different spirit than the world, right? And when we're presented with something, we should be seeing it differently. You know, whether it's a person that is rejected by the world, that has is not accepted of by the world, we should see them differently, right? We shouldn't say, "Oh, they're scum of the earth," and walk by them. But we should say, "Lord, why have you led me to this person? Why have you led me into this situation, these circumstances?" And see what the Lord, you know, see with His eyes, right? See with the Father's eyes. You know, why, Lord, why have you placed me in this situation? And you know, the work situation, this place in which we're working, this one place that we referred to, it can be difficult, right? Working for difficult people sometimes. But I asked the Lord, "Lord, show me, give me a heart for this lady." And so, today the Lord, it was funny because this morning when I got into work and we were deciding who's going where, one of the guys that I've been working with, he said, "Well, Fred and I should go over and finish up the this house that we've been working on, and we can get everything done this morning. We should be able to get everything done." And it was funny because I looked at it and I said, that's kind of me taking out windows is kind of, to me, maybe a waste of my resource. I can do more. You know, I can do some of the other handyman jobs, you know. And Glenn said to Rich, "Do you think we should send Cody over there? Cody's a young man. It's pretty hard worker, about 23. And he said, "Oh, no, we need Fred over there." So I was kind of scratching my head. I didn't say anything because I honestly don't care where you put me. Just make sure I have something to do, you know. And so I went over there, and Cody could have done this job for sure. You know, taking the windows out, helping her wash them, put them back in. You know, it's not a difficult task. But I got thinking, Lord, why are you putting me in this? Why are you putting me here? You know, so I had a wonderful conversation with her as I did the windows, and she asked me questions and I asked her questions. But she knows where I stand now too, you know, because she asked me enough questions that I told her I was a pastor. And she said, "They allow pastors that don't have hair?" No, she didn't say that, really. So, but anyways, the Lord places us, and just as Caleb was, he was there, he saw the same things, he saw the circumstances, they weren't different for him, but his spirit was different. And I pray that the Lord would put such a spirit in us, you know, a spirit that says, I report to the Lord, and whatever He says goes, you know, that spirit of obedience, right? I mean, we talk about obedience a lot, but I don't think we necessarily always obey, right? We say we do, right? We say we do, but do we? You know, hasn't the Lord touched you in certain areas in the Scriptures, and these thoughts come to your mind, like, I'm just spewing, right? But if, for example, for me, the Lord put on my heart to meet the kids out here at the bus stop, right? And for me to deny that is sin, right? It's a sin of omission. And it's being disobedient to the Lord. So, hey, guess what? I gotta do it, right? If I serve Him. And I think if you look at your own lives, you can see where the Lord puts certain things on your heart. And we have a decision to do. We either go into the land or we don't. You know? But what do we want to do? We want to be obedient to the Lord. So now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complains against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, saith the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcass of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I don't know how to say that, Jephunneh, I think it is, and Joshua, the son of Nun, not something, but Nun. Bad joke, right? You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, who you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection." I guess so. "I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die." Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land who return and made all the congregations complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, however you say that, you can look it up and figure it out, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. I think it is Jephunneh. I don't know. Anyways, so interesting. You know, here's the nation. The nation would wander in this for every day that they, you know, for every day they would accumulate a year there and wander in the wilderness. It would be their judgment. Those that were 20 years and above would die, except for Caleb and Joshua. It seems as we look at this, you can see the Lord's judgment all over it, right? He continues to remind them about how they rejected him, how they rejected his ways. And out of the 11 or 12 spies there, 10 were unbelieving and they died. Verses 36 through 38. And isn't that true when we reject, we have this death-like life when we disobey the Lord, when we don't do as He asks us to do? We're living dead. We're not really living if we're not obeying the Lord. This continuous complaining that Israel had during this time, you know, their unsatisfied in rejection of God's provision in the manner that He supplied, God would also supply them what they desired. And interesting enough is that after they refused to go in there, go into the land, go into that land in which God had asked them to go, shown them to go, it says in verse 2 there of chapter 14, it says, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?'" How soon they forgot how bad Egypt was, how bad the bondage was, that they would even want to go back there. But interesting enough, in verse 2 there, "If only we had died in that land, if we had not even seen the manna," you know, that we wouldn't even have experienced the exodus out of bondage. We wouldn't see the miraculous entry into the out of Egypt into the wilderness. We wouldn't have seen the Red Sea part. Lord, only if we had died in the land of Egypt, or even in the wilderness. You know, stuck in the wilderness. If only we had died in the wilderness, and we would never see the promise of God taking us into that land or that place in which He had promised us. But interesting here is that they actually said to the Lord, "Lord, if I could make a recommendation, I would recommend that we die." He said, "Okay." Right? Said, "Okay, if if that's what you want, turn the page, you know? Turn the page. Verse 36, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregations complain against him by bringing a bad report to the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land, died by the plague before the Lord. Be careful. Be careful what you hope for, what you ask for, what you wish for. You can see that God letting the people have their own way is by far the biggest judgment that people will have. They experience their own way. You want to experience your own way? It's your judgment. You're sentencing yourself. First Peter chapter 2, verse 10, it speaks of false teachers, but I think the principle's the same. It says, who walks according to the flesh in the lusts of uncleanness and despises authority? You know, the Israelites, they were walking in the flesh. They were walking in the flesh. That's why they didn't want the manna. That's why they didn't want the provisions of the Lord. That's why they were scared of the giants that were in the land. They were walking in the flesh. Often when we think of the lust of the flesh, we have a tendency of thinking lust as in sexual desires and stuff like that. But the lust of the flesh is anything, you know, anything that would govern our will other than God Himself. Because we know that sometimes we do get in the flesh and we do cut our own paths through the wilderness. We do cut our own paths through the forest. You know, and we don't allow the Lord to do it for us. So we got to be careful, but who walked according to the flesh in the lusts of the uncleanness and despised authority. See what happens when we walk in the flesh? All of a sudden, we get to a point where we're despising. We're despising authority in our life. Because we're starting to think that things are impossible. Even God put us here, but they're impossible. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Start to complain about Moses. Start to blame old Moses for the condition they're in. But if you can imagine this prophecy here that was given through Moses from the Lord to those Israelites, very similar to the prophecy that we're given today about the end times, about Jesus' return, about the rapture. You know, we're warned that this is going to happen, you know. And death, sin causes death, and God warns us about that. But here Caleb is, and Joshua. And it's almost like they're watching the funeral. The 40-year funeral, or 38 years, I guess we're 2 years into it here. But they watch the 38-year funeral of their generation as they die off, because the promise is that they're going to be the ones that would see the promised land because of their obedience. So we go on in verse 39, it says, then Moses told those words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. and they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites, who dwelt in the mountain, came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. So, verse 39 there, they say the people were mourning greatly. And they even said, "Look at, we have sinned." And at first glance, you might think, well, gee, you know, they recognize what they've done as being wrong, but see, Moses understood them as not repenting. They weren't repenting from this. It's almost like, well, you know, we want to get out of this predicament that we're in. More so than, "Lord, I want to repent and turn away from my sin and return to you." Remember, our God is a merciful God, and He would forgive over judgment. But our hearts need to be sincere. The bottom line is they just regretted the consequence, right? I mean, how many times do our kids do that? They say the right thing, but you know, because you're their father or you're their mother, and you know that they're not right yet. Right? They're just saying it because they want to get out of the consequences. "Dad, I don't want that spanking. I don't want to be grounded." You know? So, it's human instinct for us to do that. See, Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. And that spirit would tell us that we would want to repent. "Do not go up," in verse 42, "lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you." When we're in disobedience, we're in a dangerous spot, aren't we? We're in a dangerous spot. God's saying, "You want your own way? Have at it." But it's dangerous. Because harm might come to us. God allows it. He's watching it. He hasn't forsaken us. He's allowing it to happen. Because see, it's our judgment on ourselves. We have placed that judgment on ourselves. We said, "God, we don't like your plan. We're going to go our own way." Don't blame God when things go awry and we haven't listened to Him. And we've all done it, huh? We've all done it where we've gotten down the road and we're thinking, "Man, I should have listened to the Lord on this one. I shouldn't have bought that car from that guy. Shouldn't have bought that tractor." You know better. It's dangerous. But they presumed to go up to the mountain top. The Lord never told them to move. Right? The cloud didn't move. The trumpets didn't blow. Moses didn't tell them to move. The ark wasn't moving. It says the presence of the Lord wasn't moving with them. The Lord will not be with you. But they presumed. That word presumed means to be lifted up. It refers to our pride or our arrogance. And we all know this verse in Proverbs 16:18-19. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, Caleb, again, had a different spirit, didn't he? He had a spirit of humility. One that says, God knows best. And he follows him. Caleb didn't need no title. He just needed to be told by the Lord what to do. He wasn't after Aaron's position or Moses' position. He was just after following the Lord. Even Joshua, right? Even Joshua, even though he was going to be the next, in a sense, Moses, right? He was going to lead the charge. He was going to lead the charge against Jericho, and we would see the walls fall. But, you know, that first chapter of Joshua, he had to be encouraged to be courageous by the Lord. He wasn't in it for a title either. He was just in it to obey the Lord. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Isn't that often we have to make sure we're not thinking we're the vine. You know? We got to make sure that we understand that He's God and we're not. But you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can also read that if he doesn't abide in me and I in him, I bear no fruit. But with him I am something. Without him, I am nothing. When God is not in the situation, when Moses told these guys, look, don't go up there. Don't go up to the mountaintop. Don't go up to fight the Amalekites and the Canaanites. Don't do it. God's not in it. By doing that, by going ahead, we're really doomed. It says when they did go up there to fight them, what happened to them? They were attacked, and they drove them back as far as Hormah. And Hormah was 100 miles from where they were supposed to be. 100 miles from where they're supposed to be. And that's disobedience. That's what happens. We get out of sync with the Lord. We don't obey Him. We're not listening to Him. We're way off base. And we've seen it in people that we know, right, that claim to be Christians. Have you ever said to yourself, what happened to what's-his-name? Remember he was supposed to be doing this and he isn't doing it. What happened to him? He got off base. He didn't follow the direction of the Lord. Maybe he got scared. Maybe he just needs encouragement too. We are in the age of grace. We can give him grace and we can go and encourage. But here we see really what happens when we're faithful to trust the Lord. And we also see what happens when we're not faithful and we don't trust the Lord. The consequences. Do we enjoy the consequences of sin? No. And we shouldn't. Why don't you turn to Joshua 14? You know, it's good to, I think, see what happens. What happens to a man when he is obedient to the Lord? And I think Joshua 14, verse 6, we pick up there. It says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord God, Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 years, even every since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. So now he's, you know, Caleb's reflecting back on his life. He's reflecting back on his life, and he's, you know, and he points out some things here that are important, I think, for us, that he wholly followed the Lord. I like that because it gives you a picture of wholeness. It wasn't like he said, "Nah, Lord, I'm not going to do that today. I like the idea of me going here, but not there." And he would do some of it. No, he wholly followed the Lord as God for those 40 years, and here he is, 85 years old. "As yet I am as strong this day as on the day Moses sent me." I like that. "I'm as strong as I was then in the faith. I have faith today that I'm going to that I trust the Lord as much as I did 40 some years ago. I trust him." What a wonderful position to be in when, you know, after you experienced, really walked with the Lord them 40 years, and you get to that point in your life when you're 85 years old, and to have that stamina and that strength of the Lord. You know, and later it goes on and it talks about him defeating, actually going to war and defeating, you know. So we see that this isn't only spiritual, but it's a physical strength as well, I think. And a mental strength. "As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength of war." both for going out and coming in. So he would go and he would face the giants of Anak. You know, he would go and defeat them after this. Now therefore, I think it's chapter 15 or 16, I can't remember which. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So then Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. Caleb's life tells a wonderful story of obedience. And how he endured, you know. I mean, here we are, we've seen him toward the end of his life. How he endured with the Lord. And how the Lord endured with him. And as he did what the Lord asked him to do, he was strengthened. He was strengthened for war. You know, and I think even today in our time, it's important that we are strengthened for war. That we obey the Lord. But our war might be different, though a little bit the same. Right? But I think we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war, and we need to be strengthened. But a lot of our walk is going to be depending on our obedience to the Lord. Listening to the Lord. Not being afraid of what's going to happen to us physically. Not being so self-absorbed that we lose the reality of God and His plan and His will for our lives. But instead that we would be so crucified with Christ that we would just lay our lives down before Him. That we would want to do as the Lord. We want to be obedient. We might see the dangers, but they don't scare us more than being disobedient to the Lord. Caleb's a wonderful example of obedience. We see their faithfulness here. And we see God reward their faithfulness as well. It's hard to stay true when everybody else isn't. Right? The other 10 spies weren't. Joshua and Caleb were. It's hard to be the minority. But if you look at the polls, you know, you look at the polls and you see where, you know, they'll come up with these polls. So many, you know, percent evangelicals believe this. Well, guess what? Out of that evangelical grouping, a very small percent in my mind are really living for Christ. I got to believe it's very small. Them statistics are deceiving. We're very much a minority. We're a very small minority within the Christian population, per se. It's hard to stay in line with the Lord unless we're reading His Word, unless we're spending time with Him, unless we're allowing Him to direct our thoughts, direct our steps, and that we're responding in obedience. Even though when we don't understand them. Because that's going to be more times than not. If you wait to step when you understand, you're probably going to be sadly set back in your faith because you're probably not going to step. Because a lot of times, God's plans don't necessarily make sense to us. They just don't. Right? He does things so much differently. And I, even as one of his kids, you know, I think of things sometimes and I go, okay, Lord, I know you want me to do this. And I come out with my grandioso plan. And then when God really, massages it, it's so much different than what I had in mind. But it's better. Right? It's better.